Moin. A very quick update on how we use C++, C++ standards in LibreOffice to finish off this afternoon. So we're still using C++ 17. Almost, there's one thing that keeps cropping up. I think Noel tried to sneak it in twice and Mike once. This is unsuspecting standard from cars thing where you have a string view of characters and you want to get an integer or floating point value out of that, and there's a standard form function for that. Unfortunately, it's not in libstandard C++ 8 or only in 8 and only in 11 for floating point values, which we don't have. We're still stuck at 7. So people keep trying to add that to the UNO libraries, and I, as the gatekeeper of these UNO libraries, which we never want to change because then we have these maintenance problems, I keep banging them back that no, we don't need that. We don't need to add anything there because we'll have C++ 17 functionality for it anyway, and I keep saying that for years now, and at one point we'll get there, I'm pretty sure. So yeah. Just C++ 17 for now still. But of course, we are making use of whatever gets available, becomes available in the later standards, so that C++ 20 is out for 2-3 years now, and C++ 23 is almost finished. It's the standardizing stuff takes its time, but it's quite frozen by now. And then there's always these small things, mostly in the standard library, that are easy to approximate, and then we usually make use of those ideas in our own code and have one header file, one include file, where we either use the original aliased to our 03TL namespace or implement our own approximation, which we then throw out once we have that available. So that's the span thing, similar to the string view, where you just have a range of values, start and length. Then these comparison functions, they are very interesting. If you don't know them, then check them out. So you always have a hard time comparing two integers in C and C++ if they're of different types, signed and unsigned, and you get surprising results. And finally, in C++ 20, they decided to come up with ugly syntax functions, but they will do the right thing, whatever types you throw at them, and we have at least one place where we use them by now for good measure. And another example is this standard unreachable magic function that they introduced. We still have a macro for that to approximate it. So if there's a place in your code where you can't reach, so a default in a switch, and you don't want to return any nonsense from that, and then the compiler would warn you that you don't have a return statement there, then just add a unreachable there to tell the compiler this is impossible to reach anyway. Then there's bigger features or beyond library features that we try to make use of one way or another. For example, the C++ 20 const eval, similar to const expression, where you have something that should be computed at compile time, and const exp is do it at compile time if possible, otherwise do it at runtime. On const eval is forcing you to do it at runtime at compile time. And the trick there is, if you have a function that has some assert, and you make that function a const eval function, then if the assert would not hold, then you get a compilation error instead of just a runtime error later on, or not even an error if you build with the asserts disabled. And we make use of that in some places like this. We have this color class, and I think Noel again at one point tried to get rid of the ambiguity whether it has alpha channel or not. So we now have a constructor that wants to make sure you pass in some value that doesn't have an alpha channel in there, so we have an assert in there, and if we have const eval in the latest compilers, then we use it, and then we would get a compiler at compilation time error already if you pass in some value that does have an alpha channel after all. So that helped the improvement of the change in the code from the old semantics to the new semantics. So we have an if around that, if have cpp const eval, then use const eval, otherwise we use const expr. And in our configure script, we have lots of checks whether we can use const eval. And unfortunately, only Clang by now, even the latest compiler versions, we have five checks in there for bugs that we discovered with all these const eval implementations. And Clang, the latest one, has all its bugs sorted out, but GCC and the Microsoft compiler still can't use it. So that shows how if you have a feature sheet of what the compilers support and there's ticks for there, don't trust that too much. If you then actually try to use it, you run into all kinds of issues. And then, of course, coming up is issues that are even bigger, where you can't use some ifdef trickery or some include file where you approximate things. Biggest two things that come to my mind are the concepts in C++ 20, which would make code really more readable, but which is hard to do in some macro way. We have one place, I think, by now where we have, again, around this requires thing, we have an if def, or if we have a C++ 20 implementation that supports it. There's one place where we have some function that internally does some dangerous dynamic casting, and you know proxies didn't support dynamic casting, so I wanted to make sure that we never use that function on a template type that does could be a UnoProxy. So I came up with this wonderful requires clause there to if you have a new enough compiler to get that sorted out at runtime, and otherwise we ignore it. An even bigger thing is modules, and I guess we will have to wait for others to come up with real implementations of that, or real world usage, to see how we would make use of them. But even if these features are out in the distant future, in some cases still, what we already can do is try to force the compilers hard to run our code and demonstrate to them that they what bugs they have, or what bugs are in the standard library implementations if they introduce new things. So what I do is opt into this thing to use whatever compiler you use with the latest C++ version that compiler implements, which is typically C++ 23 by now, and then have a big matrix of platforms and compilers and libraries, standard runtime libraries to build on, and find all kinds of interesting bugs whenever I update one of those things, and then mail Jonathan that he introduced something new in standard C++ that doesn't get Clang, that doesn't make Clang happy, and so forth. And these people are happy that we are the guinea pigs for them. And that's it. Time for beer.
I guess we have time for a question, if there's any.
Questions? I'm not prepared for that.
Whom do you contact if you find a bug in the Microsoft compiler?
Oh, they do have a web form now that you can fill in, and I think I even got a response once. So.
Wow.
Mike Gansky brought that up.
Okay, maybe one more question since we're at the end of the track.
So what's the status of modules in compilers? Because as far as I know, only Visual Studio does it, and it does it kind of, sort of, and the others are worse.
No, I think they're all three by now in their head trunk versions. They support them. I think they claim it works, but I didn't ever try it.
What is a module?
Sorry?
What is a module?
A module is a new way of organizing your, so that you don't have this issue of having all these includes that you need to include. This is like pre-compiled, a newer version of pre-compiled headers, actually. Yeah, that sums it up.
Okay, then thanks again.